I will carry all of you in my intentions as after Mass I get ready to go to the airport and fly to Rome. I will make sure to pray for you there in the Holy City, keeping you in my intentions, and I'd ask that you pray also for me and for my intention as I travel. I had an interesting experience traveling a couple weeks ago. I went down to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, at the naval base to substitute for a chaplain friend of mine, whom some of you will remember, Father Charles Johnson, who came here a couple of years ago to help with the sacred triduum. Anyway, I substituted for him. On the way down, we had an absolutely horrible flight on one of the worst airplanes I've ever been on. I'll spare you the details of that, but on the return flight, carrying my chaplain friend away from the Navy base, that plane crashed and went into the St. John River at Jacksonville Naval Air Station. So if you read about that, well, that was what we call a close call. And we keep everyone traveling, hopefully, in our intentions. When we know that someone is traveling, say a prayer to their guardian angels that they be guarded along the way and be protected from all temporal and spiritual harm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We heard in the letter from St. James today something about anger. Well, it seems like everyone is angry these days. If you watch the news, or you watch, you know, keeping up on current events and so forth, everyone is filled with outrage. Some little thing happens and I'm outraged. I'm insulted. How dare you insult me? I'm angry. And everything is anger, anger, anger these days, it seems. Well, we have today from St. James something about anger. Anger is sometimes justified, but most of the time it isn't. And we have to learn how to control ourselves, because we're not little, you know, little animals or little children, for example, that can't control themselves and just, you know, go crazy. We have a will and an intellect, and we are able to control our anger, our reactions, what we say and what we do, what we show outwardly. There was an ancient Roman Stoic author by the name of Seneca. You probably heard him. He's a playwright, philosopher. And he wrote a treatise on anger. And in that treatise, he praised Augustus Caesar for his calm temperament and his even qualities and his level-headedness in ruling and so forth. Well, as it turns out, another ancient writer, Plutarch, who is a biographer, said that Augustus Caesar had a tutor when he was young by the name of Athenodorus. And Plutarch writes that Athenodorus once told Augustus, and here is something that you can take away. This is something that you can engrave in your memory, okay? The advice given to the emperor, the future emperor, Augustus Caesar. He told him, remember, Caesar, when you get angry, repeat the whole alphabet to yourself before you say or do anything. Repeat the alphabet to yourself before you say or you do anything. Take a moment. Take a breath. Take a time out. You might have to even take a knee and think and consider before you say or you do anything when you're angry. Halting the pattern that gets you into trouble before you lurch forward like an idiot. Take a moment. Recite the alphabet, Athenodorus says. Another thing to do, if you are thinking about saying something, the first thing that you probably should do is take a drink of cold water to cool yourself off, which is exactly what I am going to do right now. Thank you, Ben. We can get ourselves into a lot of trouble with our tongues. It's very interesting. Confessors will tell you this. That so many of the sins that confessors hear are committed by speech, right? By saying something that isn't true, by saying something wrong about another person to someone else, by using bad language, by whatever it might be. We could save ourselves a lot of trouble and avoid a lot of sins if we would just shut up a little and not speak quite so quickly. Be slow to speak. What does St. James say in here? Let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. We see examples of righteous anger in Scripture. For example, this just to take two. When Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees everyone going nuts around the golden calf, he gets angry. And justifiably so. Why? Because they are violating the will of God. That is a matter of God's justice that's being violated. What is owed to God was being violated. And so he was righteously and properly angry. When our Lord went up to the temple and he saw that the courtyard of the Gentiles had been taken over by people selling things and changing money and so forth, he got angry, especially because they had violated the courtyard of the Gentiles of the temple, and that was a particularly important place during his time of public ministry, because it was a sign that it was the fullness of time and ready for his passion when the Gentiles would be coming to him and be coming to pray to Almighty God. And there they had filled up the courtyard of the Gentiles so the Gentiles couldn't pray in it. And he was righteously angry at this. And that's where he overthrew the tables and so forth, which was symbolically like overthrowing the temple. It's like what Jeremiah had done. When Jeremiah came to the temple, he had said, "You have turned this into a den of thieves." And our Lord quotes Jeremiah. And that was before the Babylonians were coming in to destroy everything. Well, it was symbolically the Lord in overturning the temples, was overturning the temple, demonstrating that the living Jesus was the new temple. And the risen Jesus and the Jesus that is in heaven is the new temple. That's what was going on there. But it was the courtyard of the Gentiles is a very important piece in that. The Gentiles had to come, and that was a sign that the time was right. There is such a thing as righteous anger. But James explains that the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. When we get angry about ourselves, very often it is about very small things, because we are very small people. So, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There's one other point that I'd like to make today. Today we have a first Holy Communion. Is that right? Thomas is making his first... Hi, yeah. You can wave. Yeah, sorry. You're making your first Holy Communion. Congratulations to the whole family, and congratulations to all of us, because it's an opportunity to reflect on precisely what it is you're doing when you receive Holy Communion. What are you doing? Has it become routine? Do you think about what it is that you're actually daring to do? In Holy Mass, after the canon, when it comes time for the Our Father, the priest sings that, formed by God's word, we dare to say, we are audacious to say the prayer that the Lord taught us and told us to say. If we are daring and audacious in saying that prayer, how much more daring and audacious are we when we come up to the communion rail to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. What a magnificent moment that is. How awesome it is. It should be a moment of fearful joy, of joyful awe and trembling, to receive God into yourself. You know, when we eat ordinary food, and this is one of the things that marks the point at which a child can be admitted to Holy Communion, is when they can distinguish regular food from the sacred food, which is the Eucharist. Sometimes when you're up at the communion rail, the little children who aren't there yet, they see everyone, you know, kneeling and receiving communion, and they start sticking their tongue out too in imitation and so forth. And sometimes they'll blurt out, "I want one," you know, because they perceive it as, you know, just kind of an ordinary food at this point. They're not yet there. They haven't reached the point where they can make that distinction. And you have. And in your ability to make the distinction between the food which we eat and change into our own bodies, when we eat, we change that food into us, right? We change that food into our flesh and our bones and our hair and our fingernails and so forth. But when we consume the Eucharist, the Lord begins to transform us into what He is, more like He is. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made to reflect His glory in everything that we do and we say, which is why we have to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Receiving the Eucharist is one of the most important things that you can ever do in your life, and you're able to do it every day if you wish by going to Holy Mass. But every time you receive Holy Communion, you should also remember that it is a preparation both for life and what happens outside the church, but it's also a preparation for death. Holy Communion is a consummation of something. It's a completing of something. It's a completing of something that is already completed but not yet completed and will only be completed on the other side of the veil. Always think carefully about the state of your soul before receiving Holy Communion. Sometimes I think that the row-by-row communion thing is not a very good idea, because it's almost like a psychological pressure. Everybody's getting up to go. Well, if you don't think that you should, sometimes people will feel a pressure to get up and go, even though they know that they shouldn't. If you feel that pressure and you go forward, but you know you shouldn't receive Holy Communion, it's okay to, you know, kneel down and put your finger in front of your lips when you know you shouldn't receive Holy Communion. Just do something like that, and the priest will go by, and no one, you know, will notice or whatever. Or just stay in your pew and pray. It's okay to do that. It really is. Always receive Holy Communion in the state of grace. If you know you're not in the state of grace, if you're sure you're not in the state of grace, don't receive Holy Communion. If you're not sure, you really have a doubt, you think you may be in the state of grace, but you're not quite sure, it's okay to receive Holy Communion, but no one is forcing you. It's okay not to receive that time. But when you are able to receive Holy Communion in the state of grace, then do so with joy as if it were your first Holy Communion all over again. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.